Hi, everybody. I'm sitting here with Kathy Kicker. We have a really fun episode planned. She is a graphic designer with a passion for mid-century architecture, typography, and design. And of course, she has an appreciation for vintage signage like me and probably all of you guys. And she's been documenting these signs for years. I have so many questions for you. And just recently, she worked on an all-new book titled Hollywood Signs, which we're going to get into. So thank you, Kathy, for being here. We have a lot to talk about.
We do. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming here and all the crazy traffic.
Oh, it's a wild day. Oh, yeah. No, glad to be here.
So I want to say, can you please just start off talking a little bit about yourself for people who may not know about you and your work?
Yeah, I'm a graphic designer from the East Coast originally, from New Jersey and New York City. I think my first big influence was I Love Lucy. I just love the style and the humor, and that's sort of come through in everything that I've done. And I was always an artist. I drew on the walls. Like, my parents had to paint the house before they sold it.
That's cute.
I was that kid. And then when I discovered typography, I just fell in love. So
cool.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, approximately, like, how old were you when you sort of discovered typography? Because I feel like it's such a specific thing that a young kid wouldn't even realize, you know, what it is.
Well, I was always drawn to signs.
Okay.
And I remember, I was just talking about it recently with somebody from New Jersey. There was a place called the Chuck Wagon, diner, and they sold hot dogs. And I remember there were signs all around the inside. I remember there was one called the Big Bertha. And I was just like, you know, and that one was bigger, like the sign was bigger. It was just, I just loved how they used type as the design of the restaurant, you know, and incorporated that. And I didn't understand at the time because I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But, and then I love the Nathan's signs at Coney Island.
Oh, yeah. Times
Square.
So good.
So, yeah. So that always drew me.
And you grew up in that area, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to ask. Like, so you pretty much realized, I know it says it in your book as well, like, it was, I Love Lucy was like your awakening of sign chaos. And there's this one quote, that you said, which is like, I was drawn to design before I really understood what it was.
Right.
That's exactly how I describe it too. Not in those words, obviously, but I'll always say, like, first of all, I thought it was like a normal thing for people to like these things that I also liked.
Right.
And then second, the other thought I always had was like, maybe I'm the only one who thinks like this, or people are okay with destroying it, even they like it because they feel like they need to. I thought that was just how everyone sort of felt.
Right.
So it is interesting. You realize from a young age, like, oh, this is normal, but it's also, I'm sort of in the minority of appreciating these places.
Yes.
So I think that's really cool that you even bring that up in your book. But what would you say is like other works in your past that sort of represent this mid-century architectural world that you're in?
Oh, well, definitely the books that I've done with Charles Phoenix.
Cool.
Addicted to Americana, Southern California in
Sweet.
The 50s.
Did you do like the graphics for that?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
I have all those books, by the
way.
Oh,
yeah. They're amazing. And so that, absolutely. And that was sort of, I first worked with him before I moved here from New York, and then on the first book, the Vegas book, and then since then the other three. So definitely sort of brought everything into focus. And
yeah,
he's amazing. So
yes,
he's great. So I love working with him, and he's great.
So when you were in New York too, while you were there, of course, appreciated all the signs and all that. And
were
you documenting all those signs too?
You know, I think it's for a lot of us, we always assume they'd all be there, always.
Yeah.
So I think that it's more recent that there's this urgency to document. Plus, now we all have cameras in our pockets and with our phones. But I wish I had done more. I mean, a lot of them in my memory, but I wish I had taken more pictures sooner.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you go back and visit often?
I do. Yeah, I'm gonna be going back soon, and
cool.
I have family, friends there, and,
cool.
I miss it. You
Sweet.
Know? Yeah.
I'll be there in October, so
really
soon. Oh, we might see each other. That's funny. So the first time I actually went to New York, I guess, where I'm like appreciating all these signs and noticing it more, was really recently. And I thought there was going to be a lot more signs, but I guess it's just disappeared so fast over there over the years.
Yeah.
Going into like your work of mid-century inspired graphic design and all that, you also worked on the Downtowner Motel in Hollywood, right? Tell me about that, please.
So I was driving by. I think I was on my way to see Charles, actually.
Okay.
And I saw this crane. It looked like they were taking the sign down. So I start, you know, that feeling that we all have. Yeah. Like, oh my God, no, not another one. And it turned out that they were repairing it and restoring it. So they needed a graphic designer to do that oval where Downtowner is.
Yeah.
So all these lucky things happened all at once. And I looked on eBay, and it's the only time that I had seen this. I was a matchbook that said Downtowner in that amazing script.
Mm.
And it was their sister motel that was actually downtown.
Oh, okay.
Downtown LA.
Huh. And was it the same sign?
It had a different sign, as far as I can tell, but they used that script.
Okay.
So I was able to, you know, scan that, clean it up, and incorporate it into a like sort of retro modern brand
yeah.
for them. And then the amazing, you know, the main sign is so incredible
yes.
with the bulb and the neon.
How fun that you did that.
Oh, I it was an honor, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like everyone loves that sign.
Oh, it's such a great sign.
It's so good. It's and like your work sign. Is in it.
Yeah.
That's so iconic.
No.
I love that.
I'm just happy to have been a part of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now you have this book out and it's called Hollywood Signs, where it's a lot of it is your work of documenting these signs for the last several years. When you started, like, how did this come to be? Did you, when you were documenting it, did you want to publish a book with these signs? How did you pick Hollywood specifically? And I know, like, it's so overwhelming to try to categorize and figure it out. And you also did an incredible job with how you labeled it by section. You have, like, the motels, the theaters, the studios, all these areas that you dive deep into, like, the history of them. Like, can you tell me more about the process of how this came to be?
Oh, yeah. I've been working on this for a long time. I would say about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And I lived in Hollywood, and I noticed, this was in the early 2000s. I noticed things happening. I noticed like the Palladium, the 60s storefront, 60s front came down, that beautiful plastic.
Yeah.
And then they brought back the original, you know, sort of streamlined deco neon. But I was just seeing things happening. So I started taking pictures. And do you remember the Dandy Shoe factory on Hollywood and Vine?
Mm.
And that was all boarded up. And I'm like, I have to start taking pictures because that's going to go any minute.
Yeah.
And so I just started looking around, taking pictures. And then I've always been fascinated wherever I've lived. When I lived in New Jersey when I was a kid, and when I lived in the West Village in New York, I just always did a deep dive in the history of where I've lived. So I did that with Hollywood.
Cool.
And
that is a whole world. Yeah.
It's a whole world, and there's so many different ways to look at it. But I just sort of started looking at the signs because that's what I'm drawn to.
Yeah.
And the places, like, what was that? What did that look like before? What was there before? So I just started going, you know, and even when I drive down Hollywood Boulevard, I see like what was there instead of what is
yes.
there.
Yeah.
So it's
funny because people say how like locals don't go to Hollywood Boulevard, it's all tourists. I'm like, I'm there all uh-huh. the time. But I guess it's for that reason. I see all the old in there,
yes.
the cool stuff.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting mix of people who visit.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
So one thing I want to say, when you guys had your book launch party, I saw you there and
uh-huh.
came, you signed
yes.
my book. And I was like, oh, I love your outfit, your color palette. I was being like a nerd. And your response was very nerdy too. You were like, oh yeah, I wore it too. You were like, oh yeah, it's meant to resemble the Brown Derby because
uh-huh.
of the colors. And
uh-huh.
I think your phone case and your bag, everything. I'm like, this is so good. You're meant to publish this
yes,
book.
I think
it's
so
good.
Yes.
I love it. But yeah. So that was good to see you there. We talked about the Brown Derby, which was nice.
Yes.
But, like, I really like how also you mention how signage started in advertisement in
mm-hmm.
your book.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk before neon. Like, you briefly mention
yeah.
the companies that originally started and you lead into neon. Like, it's very fascinating. You're very knowledgeable with all of this. I want to say thank you for making this book. I learned a lot, too. But I want to also mention, I got really overwhelmed again with everything. So even looking at this and all the photos, I was like, I need to take a break. Like, it's just too much to
yes,
process.
I get it. Yes.
Yeah. But you have a lot of incredible photographs in here that you've taken, or even archival photos that like I haven't really seen. And you
mm-hmm.
highlight and mention a lot of specific areas that are really interesting to me. But what would you say is your favorite part working on this?
Oh, that's a great question. I kind of loved every minute of it. As your fellow flea market person, so it's yes. like when you go there and they're like, you know, 3 million things, but you're going to find that one thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same with looking for photographs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, so I've been, you know, looking on eBay and in archives, like the library's archives, for years, and just, you know, trying to find that one picture. Certain ones would come up, like the neon Egyptian marquee. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, this has got to be a book.
Yeah.
You know, I also loved the, working with other people. There were so many other collectors that were generous with their archives
and awesome.
Shared their images
with
me.
I noticed that.
Yeah, amazing. And that sort of brought things to the next level. Talking with other people that know a lot about neon mm-hmm. and Didier Deleuze and Paul Greenstein were amazing. It was really fun to sort of connect with the community around me, you know? So it was definitely a group effort.
Yeah. And I like it because it is funny to think about that there is like a neon sign community. It's
uh-huh.
such a niche
yeah.
thing.
Yes.
And I love how excited everyone was about this because it's really incredible book.
Thank you.
And I want to ask too, like when you were putting it together, did you learn a lot of new stuff that you didn't know about?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to. You know, I was like, and I wanted to share it, you know, whatever I learned.
It's cool.
So, yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that you have like the old Hollywood Bowl sign.
Yes.
Highlighted too. And even like within this section too, you talk about the clock on the sign.
The Gruen clocks.
Yeah, the Gruen clocks. I was like, I don't want to mispronounce that.
Yeah, they were all over Hollywood.
Yeah. What would you say is like your favorite sign in Hollywood? Oh. It's a hard one, I know.
That is such a tricky question. Yes. Well, definitely, I mean, it's not in Hollywood anymore, but the Brown Derby.
Yes.
And the Neon Dragons, now, of course, in Glendale.
Yes.
But I think one of my favorites that's still there is the Frolic Room, of course.
Yeah, that one's really great.
Amazing.
And it still works, and it's in great condition.
Yes, and I found out there used to be like a little neon martini glass next to the door.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, so.
There was one point where I was like really, I go through like really extreme obsessions, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. So I was just there like every day taking pictures of it, and uh-huh. there's a security guard outside. I'm like, oh my, he's probably like, what is this man doing every day taking pictures of this sign? But it is what it is. So how long did this take to publish? I mean, like I know you had sort of the idea for a while, but like when you started to actually put everything together, like how long did that take? Because this is a lot of work.
It was off and on for a number of years. And whenever I had time between other projects, I would sort of delve into it. And I worked on, you know, just sort of figuring out what images I had and then making an outline and then revising the outline. So it was, it was a lot on and off for a number of years, I would say. And then the last year before it was published, especially the last 6 or 8 months, I worked on it almost full time.
Oh, wow.
So,
so you published this with Angel City Press,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. They were amazing.
That's
everyone
awesome.
There. Yes. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I've met a few of the members there. They're awesome.
Oh, they're great. Yes.
So, like you said, how you would go through your personal archives. Mm-hmm. How did you even like find everything? Because do you have them all on like SD cards or like film? Uh-huh. Like how did you go through all that? I'm very unorganized, uh-huh. even though I like do all this too, like documenting. So how did that even work?
I have them all in one place.
Okay.
But I'm the same way. I have them sort of more organized in my head than mm-hmm. they are in reality, but I know what's there.
Yeah.
And I did have this idea that I would have this big, you know, spreadsheet of all the, and that's just not, I don't function that way.
It's chaos.
So yeah. But it's organized chaos. Like I would pull together what I needed and it all worked out.
I think it was released at a good time too, because we're celebrating 100 years of the Hollywood sign.
Yes.
It's like perfect timing.
Yes.
And your book is about Hollywood signs, and
exactly.
you even mentioned that one. It's cool because a lot of people don't know how like the Hollywood land sign originally had like light bulbs, right? All around it that would flicker and glow.
There were 4,000 light bulbs and it would
wow.
flash Hollywood land.
So good.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And the 100th anniversary of that being lit for the first time we know about is December 8th. So that's, I'm sort of thinking that of that as the 100th anniversary, like the birthday.
Yeah, I was thinking December too.
Yeah,
It's coming up.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I want to talk about sort of how, I guess Hollywood Boulevard, but Hollywood in general, mm-hmm. had this like huge boom and sort of like a downfall, and it's on the rise again, where like all the studios moved to Hollywood, then they moved out, and now they're sort of there again, and everything is always changing. I sort of say like we're living this ever-changing world here. Yeah. Everything's constantly evolving, maybe for the best, maybe not for the best, but it is always changing. Like, how did you capture that in your book, maybe?
Well, I tried to focus on, the era I focused on was like the 20s to the 60s.
Yes.
So before the, you know, the sort of first fall of Hollywood,
yes.
or as it was, you know, it was starting in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, so this is, you know, I tried to sort of present the golden age, you know,
yeah.
beautiful, optimistic, you know.
For people who may not know, that's sort of when, right, like all the neon signs were like at their prime.
Yeah.
And it was all about beautiful advertisement.
Yes.
And the dream of Hollywood.
Yeah, it was a dream. And, you know, that was the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce actually sent in the 20s, sent out, they had a big advertising campaign across the country, like to tell people to stay home. You know, don't come to Hollywood. You know, it's true. Like, people came in busloads and wanted to, like, live the dream and be in the movies. The rise of Hollywood kind of mirrors the rise of neon and then the fall of neon and the fall of Hollywood.
That's really
interesting. It's very interesting how it kind of, they reflect each other.
And something about it, like, when you look at these old photographs, it's like, it really looks like a dream almost. Like, imagine just walking through these beautiful glowing lights and signs, and everything is beautiful. The typography, like you mentioned, you have a passion for that. Even the storefronts, the displays, everything is like picture perfect.
Yes.
And you're gonna go there and become a star and live this like perfect world that was sort of the dream for people to come here.
Glamorous.
And, they really captured it. These photographs show it. I guess that's why, like, when I see these old signs too, I'm always just like so drawn to them. It's like this, you're entering a different world just looking at it. What do you feel when you see these signs? Like, why did you also go out of your way to document them? I know you said, like, from a young age you realized it, that you were into it, and you also noticed they were disappearing, but it for sure had to have made you feel some kind of way looking at them.
Yeah, I think that there's that sort of warm glow of neon is, it's becoming more of a memory now, because our world has gotten harsher. You know, the lights are brighter, and, you know, I've been talking to people about it that aren't, they were like, oh, I thought it was my imagination. And I'm like, no, the lights are brighter. They're harsher. They're not as yellow. They're whiter or bluer, you know? And so our physical environment is harsher than it used to be.
Huh.
And there are way fewer, you know, obviously way fewer neon signs, but there's sort of a sameness that's happening. And I think because every neon sign was individually made, there was a uniqueness to every one of them, you know? So we've definitely, that's a loss.
Yeah.
That's an absolute loss.
And it's, it's pretty crazy how fast that's happening.
Yeah.
With everything.
And everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. It's happening everywhere.
I think it was towards the end you mentioned, you talked about Santa Claus Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love so much.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know, too. Isn't the song Santa Claus Lane? Like, it's about Hollywood.
Yeah.
Santa Claus Lane.
Gene Autry wrote it. Here comes Santa Claus down, right down Santa Claus Lane. Yeah. He wrote it I think it was the year after he was the Grand Marshal of the parade.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So can you talk a bit about that? Because we're sort of approaching Christmas time, and I think the history of Santa Claus Lane is really cool, and a lot of people don't really know about it.
It was started as a Hollywood store owners wanted to attract shoppers from downtown, from the
show. Oh, is that why?
So they made it an event to go to Hollywood Boulevard, and they, you know, every year was a different theme with the trees and the lights, and it was so beautifully done. I mean, magical. Really, like, kind of what we think of, like, Disneyland, you know, level of Christmas, you know, or holidays. And that was every year. They changed the street signs.
There's really cool photos from that time, too, of them changing the street signs and all that.
Yeah, and, like, the stars of the day would get involved.
Yeah.
It was a big, big deal.
There's one where they're, like, highlighting Mickey Mouse. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I like that. So I want to now dive into like certain areas, and I would love to hear you talk more about them. For example, the Earl Carroll Theater, like, talk about the total history of that? It's really fascinating from beginning to end to what happened now to the future, all that.
Oh, so the Earl Carroll was, well, the building is still there.
Yes.
And right now, just sort of going backwards, right now we have the recreation of the Aquarius mural. It's on Sunset Boulevard near Vine, that Quentin Tarantino's production team did for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a few years back. And because everything sort of got stalled during the pandemic, we still have that, you know, mural there, which is so cool, you know. But that building began, you know, began as the Earl Carroll Theater. And Earl Carroll was a sort of a theater impresario. And he had a theater in New York. And then he came out here and created this beautiful, built this beautiful building in record time, streamlined, modern, lots of neon. There was a unique partnership between GE and Electrical Products Corporation. And they covered, like, really bathed the building inside and out in neon.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, the portrait is Beryl Wallace, who was his companion, and she was a dancer in the Earl Carroll Theater. And that famous line that wraps around her portrait through these portals past the most beautiful girls in the world.
Yes.
So what we've all heard was that the theater, which had many lives after being the Earl Carroll, it became the Moulin Rouge. For a while, Star Search was filmed there. Mm. The Chevy Chase talk show, you know, was that 6-week-long talk show was filmed there. Nickelodeon Studios.
Yeah, I remember Nickelodeon Studios.
Yes, it was. Yeah, that was there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now the theater is empty, and a developer purchased that land, and they built a lot of condos around it. But they were supposed to bring it back as a theater and recreate that facade.
Oh, I didn't know they wanted to recreate the facade. I will cry if that happens.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I will cry right along with you.
Wow.
Right?
So the lobby, right? I know, is protected, and it's, for the most part, isn't it? Mostly, it's like all original in the lobby, right? I've never been inside, so I don't know.
I got to do a tour of it. Yeah, I was very lucky about 5 years ago. And the goddess of light is still in the lobby. And she once had like a swirl of neon.
Oh,
and then it turned into this vertical curtain of neon that went all the way through the lobby, around the stage. Absolutely stunning. But there are neon columns that are still there in the lobby. Oh, there's a revolving stage that still works. I'm not sure how much they would bring back of the Earl Carroll if they did. At least the facade. I mean, that would
That's
be amazing.
That's cool. I really did not know they were going to bring the facade back.
Yes. And I mean, that, you know, that's what we're hoping. That was the original plan or agreement. The building is for sale now. And the other cool thing about that, when it first said the Earl Carroll Theater, the word theater, they had it on a timer, so it would say, the letters would blink, eat at the theater.
Perfect.
Uh-huh.
I saw a video of that posted somewhere. Uh-huh. Maybe you posted
it. I did post it.
It's
so
awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, if they want to convert it back to a theater, like, are the theater seats there?
All of that, when I was there, which was, you know, 5 years ago now, but everything was taken out because it was used as a, by Nickelodeon to tape shows. Another sort of mystery is, you know, at the, on the exterior, there were those blocks that people signed, you know, sort of a little nod to Grumman's Chinese, the forecourt with the autographs and stuff. There are over 100 of those blocks, and the rumor is they're in somebody's collection, that they're they still exist. But that would be kind of amazing if those came back.
Bring it back, or a
facsimile or whatever.
No one knows what happened to the sign. Did they know it got destroyed, or no one knows?
We presume it was destroyed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was there up until I believe it was taken down when they the Aquarius Theater was for the Aquarius Theater. There was an amazing mural that was created, that we just mentioned, that was recreated for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was up for about 3 years in the late 60s. So that's when the neon came down.
Okay. And it's cool too, because the Museum of Neon Art recreated the portrait neon. Mm-hmm. It's at City Walk in Universal. Yes. So it's nice, you can sort of see it there in a way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure on all our feeds on social media, it's like signs and history and architecture. Mm-hmm. But I'll see a lot of people post about the Nickelodeon Studios and what's happened to it now, referencing this theater.
Right.
But they don't know that it was originally a theater. So they'll be like, oh, this was the Nick Studios and it's turned into this. How strange that it's sort of abandoned. I'm like, oh, if you know the full history, it's even more strange and more sad.
Yeah, because
there's just so many layers to that building.
Oh, yeah, it was a nightclub. I mean, it was the place to be.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
You also, this going to another like topic, but I like how you talk about the Egyptian theater, because it was a replica of the sign from the 30s, right?
The new sign that's
yes
up? Yes, because now Netflix purchased the theater.
Yes,
they're working on bringing it back. They're doing a pretty thorough restoration, it seems. But yes, they just put the Blade sign up. The background of the sign is now red
instead of blue.
Netflix.
Yeah. So when was the sign recreated? Was it the 90s?
I think it was the 90s for American Cinematheque when they ran the theater. They brought that back, but it was based on a late 30s or 1930s design.
I love that they did that. I'm sort of shocked that they did that in the 90s.
I know. Yeah. It's so cool that they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you talk about all the different themes like we talked about in your book. You have like the bowling alleys, the motels, the shopping centers. What's your favorite? Well, I guess it's hard to pick a favorite, but what is really interesting to you from those categories to like dive into?
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, bowling signs anywhere are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the bowling signs that were in Hollywood were pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sunset Bowl. I'm just going to the page here in the book.
Yeah, take your time.
The Sunset Bowling Center, you know.
I want to mention that. That is crazy. That photograph is amazing, too.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
This is from Nathan Marsak's collection.
Very cool.
It's so amazing that they took this, you know, neoclassical building and covered it in neon. Like, all the columns are in neon. It's just incredible. And then, of course, grew in time to bowl, you know. So, they had so much fun with this. And it's amazing.
I just want to be like covered with neon everywhere I go. I love it. I love that a lot of the motels in Hollywood are still there. The story and history, it's like, I don't know too much about it. And it gives it this like mystery that I actually like. And you have like really cool pictures of these old storefronts. They're photographs I don't think I've even seen. I can't even remember exactly which one it was. Maybe it was like a repair shop of some sort.
Uh-huh.
I might be remembering wrong. But it's really incredible how you highlight all these storefronts, the typography and all of them. And one thing that I really like to do is like go to the places that these stores used to be.
Right.
Because a lot of times the buildings are still there.
Yes.
Not always, but they're still there. And sometimes they are like sort of falling apart, but you can still see where everything was placed. So I do encourage people to do that, even if this sign doesn't exist anymore.
Let's see, there's the building, maybe this is the one you mentioned, you were thinking of, the gas and electric building in
Los
Angeles.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. And the building is still there, it's unrecognizable, but the sidewalk is still there. Like they did this sort of deco thing in the sidewalk, and that's still there.
Wow.
So that's kind of a way to get a little glimpse of that.
Yes.
You know?
That's one thing, too, that people don't look at. The sidewalks are sometimes really interesting.
Yeah.
It's in Pasadena. The United Artists Theater is now, like, multiple different stores.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay attention to the sidewalk, it's not this elaborate design, but specifically where that building is, the sidewalk around it has, like, this line work engraved into it, and you can tell it's probably part of the building overall.
It's amazing.
It's really cool.
It's like Clifton's Cafeteria downtown.
Yeah, that is like a whole that's awesome.
It's a masterpiece.
It's incredible.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So the drive-ins too, of course, we love.
Oh my
goodness. What's your favorite drive-in?
Oh, well, all of them.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a little bit partial to Stan's because it had the, you know, it was a little later and it had this sort of googie flair in the sign. It's on the street sign. But they all sort of followed the same design that was sort of established in the, you know, 30s. Mm. Streamlined design. The building would be outlined kind of in neon. And they would often be on the corners so they could be, you know, approached by, you know, four different directions. And they were really absolutely beautiful. And they, and the typography in neon on all of them is incredible.
Yes.
And just incredible.
I love it.
Yeah.
So also coffee shops are really cool. And how coffee shops, a lot of the googie coffee shops, and for sure you know this, and maybe a lot of people listening don't know, is how the term googie, which applies to like mid-century architecture, you want to talk about the history?
Googie as a style is sort of, you know, we think of it as sort of 1950s, optimistic, huge signage usually, and flowing lines, organic. But the name came from the Googie's coffee shop on Sunset and Crescent Heights.
Yes.
And that's where that came from.
It's cool.
And it is cool to have that like specific place.
I always wonder, I'm like, why did they pick that place? Was that the first place to do it?
It wasn't. There were a lot of, it was sort of happening. But that was, and I'm sorry, I'm going to forget the name of the, it was an architectural critic that was driving with somebody and they noticed it. And that it sort of, the name sort of came from a conversation passing that Googie's. And that sign was incredible. The lettering on that sign was
really
so
cute.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it was a gem. Yeah,
so good.
Yeah,
And I love that.
And that was a John Lautner designed building. It was a really, it was a gem.
It was right next to Schwab's, right? Schwab's Pharmacy?
Yes, cool. One of the Schwab's, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love that too. What signs would you recommend, other than the Frolic Room, of course, what signs would you recommend people to go visit if they're in Hollywood right now?
Well, I was just talking about that, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood tour. You know, you can go look at all this.
That's a cute idea.
Right?
Yeah. Because that was pretty recent.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, that movie, I mean, it's sort of totally a love letter to Los Angeles and to Hollywood. But the production, I mean, you were probably there too, taking pictures, right? On Hollywood Boulevard.
I got the Cinerama during that time.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. And, and Hollywood Boulevard, you know, it's, you know, the Supply Sergeant and Musso's. Those are still there.
Yes.
The production relit, the Supply Sergeant.
Yeah.
So you can see those three signs, the Frolic Room and the Vine Theater. So they were all in the movie. And the Aquarius Theater, of course, was, but it didn't appear in the movie. But you can go see it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
So cool. Yeah. It's cool too that it wasn't only Hollywood too. Like there's signs in Burbank that were in there as well.
Yes.
I remember when that film came out and that scene, I think, was posted online. All my friends were messaging me like, you need to go watch this. I'm like, I have. Trust me.
Yeah, don't worry. I got it.
Yeah, it was cool. Where can people purchase your book if they want to get it? Because they should get it because it's awesome. Yeah. I'm going to just tell everyone, go buy this book.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Well, it's available everywhere where fine books are sold, of course. In Hollywood, it's available at Larry Edmonds, and there's signed copies there. There's signed copies at The Grove. And,
oh, that's cool.
It's available through Amazon. It's available through Angel City Press, the publisher's website. So, yeah, it's out there.
And it's called Hollywood Signs by Kathy Kicker.
Forward by Chris Nichols.
Yes, forward by Chris Nichols.
He wrote an amazing forward.
So awesome.
Yes, yeah.
I saw it at Roman's bookstore the other day, right when I entered. It was front and center. I was like, hey, that was sweet. I love everyone you've worked with. It's such a small world, the neon sign architecture preservation community. So it was cool for me to know the people that are you worked with on this book. So I'm like, hey, I know them, and it's fun, and everyone knows each other. Everyone's really great. Where can people also find you online? What should they search to?
Oh, yeah. So mostly Instagram is my name. It's Kathy Kickert, K-I-K-K-E-R-T.
Yes.
And Kathy's with a K. So on my Instagram, I'm always, you know, it's mostly devoted to my travels in search of vintage signs.
That's what I was gonna say. You can find a lot of signs on your Instagram too. It's always fun.
I mean, Instagram is amazing because that's kind of how we all found each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot too, just through everyone, because everyone sees things differently.
Exactly.
And goes different places too. So it's really fun to learn different things all the time. And we've also encountered each other at several places, not just like coincidentally, because we have similar interests, right?
Right.
Like the Roys.
I think that's the first time that we met at Roy's. Yeah.
It was the relighting ceremony at Roy's Motel and Cafe in Amboy. So I went and my friends were like, oh, where'd you go? And I was explaining like why. I'm like, oh, it's like a relighting ceremony of the neon. They were so confused. I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's like the coolest thing ever.
Well, I remember when I was driving with a car full of our neon friends, mm-hmm. and we could see the sign in the distance, but we were stopped because the train was going, we were stopped at the train tracks, and there were some guys, like the train, I guess, train spotters, train watchers, they were there, and we started, oh, look, they're watching the train, you know.
They were watching the train. That's so funny.
I think it was Steve Spiegel said, like, well, we're on our way to go look at a neon sign
that's
being
so
turned
funny.
On. Who are we? Yeah,
that's actually a good point. That's so true.
Yeah, so we,
Speaking of trains and neons, mm-hmm. just today I posted about the original whistle stop in Pasadena.
Oh,
have you been?
It's
cool. They have an awesome neon sign outside. I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah.
Beautiful
just
sign.
I would mention that because I was just thinking about that.
Yes.
What would you say is your takeaway from writing this book? Like, what did you learn, or what was the coolest thing? Or, and I know you did a lot of events too. Did you meet cool people? Like,
oh, absolutely. I have to say, like, I am thrilled by the warm reception the book has gotten. Mm-hmm. It makes me so happy. But even beyond our community, like people are really appreciating it, because who doesn't love Hollywood to begin with?
That's very true. Yeah. I think it's a perfect book, honestly. The concept, the theme, everything you're highlighting and talking about. And a lot of people who aren't into like the sign world mm-hmm. have reached out to me sending me this book, and I keep seeing it here and there, and people talking about it and telling me because they know I like this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I know her, it's really awesome, I have the book. So it is like, it like looking at it from a perspective outside of our world, really, I think people are loving it, and there's so much to love about it. I think everyone should get it, honestly, because even I learned so much, and I feel like I'm always learning something new, but this book has taught me so much. And I love how you have photographs of everything you're talking about and showcasing it from the past and the present and potentially the future of what may come.
Right.
Even the places that just recently went away, you talk about too. Since it is a really recent book, people can learn so much about mm-hmm. like, why did this place just close down? You know, you talk about all that.
Yeah. Thank you. And that's kind of happening every day now, where it's like, okay, this place is closing on Friday and it's been open for, you know, 97 years.
It's so stressful.
So it's so stressful.
Yeah.
I just wanted to really have a time capsule and like hold this place in time in our, you know, even before our memories. You know?
Again, I love that you have it categorized by themes, and like, because if I want to learn more about all these motels, I can just go to that section. And I love old motels, of course.
Yes.
So
it's
cool. And I think you highlighted too with the Downtowner Motel that we were talking about earlier, how it had different names. And you have, right? You have photos.
Yeah.
It was like the Stardust Motel at one point?
It was the Coral Isle Motel.
The Coral Isle, okay.
But you're right. There was around the corner, right behind the Carolina Pines Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee shop. Arme and Davis also built a motel. And it was called the Carolina Motel, but it had an almost identical sign structure. And then later on, it was the Stardust Motel. Mm. They changed out that plastic panel. But I just loved that. I had never seen that particular sign before. And then the fact that it appeared around the corner on La Brea mm-hmm. Also was kind of cool. Another one of my favorite parts of this whole thing, this story, is the lost signs.
Oh, yeah. I wanted
to
talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just, I mean, of course, because the Hollywoodland sign was a real estate sign. And it wasn't even the first. Whitley Heights was the first sign of the, you know, and it's hard to imagine that there was a big sign up in that beautiful neighborhood, uh-huh. which has sort of been cut in half by the freeway since. But they called it a monster electric sign. It was the first one. And then there were others. There was the...
That was from 1918, huh? That's what it says?
The development started in 18, and then the sign went up in 1920.
Oh,
3 years before the Hollywoodland site.
I love that you mentioned these signs too. I totally forgot to talk about it. Yeah, it's so cool.
The outpost sign is amazing. Mm-hmm. The big V. And it was, I mean, you could see in the picture, the little person next to
standing
it.
Standing next to it. Yeah.
So the scale was pretty incredible.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
I'm just thrilled to be here with you. I'm a big fan.
I appreciate it. I'm a fan as well. Really, thank you for coming on the podcast and talking about this book. Everyone really should have this in their collection. Mm-hmm. It's great inspiration, and it's educational, and it's cool because if you want to go sign hunting, I think this is awesome as a reference to figure out what can I see in Hollywood that's still here. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you. This is great.
Everyone check out Hollywood Signs, and thank you for listening. Bye.